Back to the spinner rack, new you maniacs. We're here at season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts.
Andy with Psi-Force number 32, the last issue, and
Steven with kind of a fashion report.
seems like that's within your wheelhouse.
Ow! The new universe was launched in 1986. As an imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window, and it included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in 2.5 years, and we are now starting 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has been capturing and drafting them into the Army and CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit. Creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Captain Manhattan comes to mind. Only one issue remains for each surviving each series, and they are all headed towards war. With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack. Or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. Counting down to the end, we have 7 comics to go. You can always find us over at kickersinc.com, our homepage, where we recently updated the new universe publication schedule. And we'll annotate that if we have any improvement ideas on it in the future once we're done. And you can also find us over at X at Kickers Inc., where I try to warn you ahead of time what's coming out next.
So you can avoid it.
So you're excited for it.
Okay. So yeah, this week we get to the end of the line for Psi-Force. Womp womp. Wayne, Tyrone, Thomas, Lindsay, Johnny, and Kathy are paranormals who endured constant harassment from various political and corporate organizations intent on using their powers for corporate gain, but have maybe finally sold out to one.
Yay.
about time. Marvel Age says Psi-Force 32, last issue special. The Psi-Force team must eliminate a Soviet arms supply route through Afghanistan, but to do it, they must ally themselves with a cold-blooded Afghan paranormal. Written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Rodney Ramos, inked by Christopher Ivy, 32 pages.
We will also be discussing a double-sized letters page and talking about who are these people and a few reminders of the times we've been to Afghanistan already in the new universe. Feels like that's the most common destination outside the US.
Yeah, really. Like a little bit of Russia, but only in Psi-Force, really. So, but yeah, Psi-Force number 32. It's got that June 1989 cover date, and probably really came out or was available February 28th, 1989. So yeah, up across the top it says number 32 in a 32-issue limited series, as if it was not planned to be ongoing. This is kind of a fun cover. Definitely one of those ones that we would look at in the back of the bin and was like, what in the world is going on? Thomas has got like commando face paint and an eye patch, which he got an issue or so ago. Johnny's got like a Psi-Force tank top and is doing some new wave dance moves in the back. there's a mysterious curly-haired woman. Which kind of looks like Stassi, but not quite, and clearly isn't. Lindsay's kind of shadowed, trying to look tough with a hood on, and Wayne's got some crazy multicolored nonsense outfit. I mean, it's just like really interesting outfit with some gear on it, big hair clip, long hair, and like a that stabby spike thing that maybe he got from Jake Travis way back when.
Yeah, it is really prominently displayed on the cover, which was making me think that we'd see it in action finally. The outfits they have on the cover are kind of like like their formal dress for like their paramilitary organization. You can see a couple of hawk motifs in a couple of the Johnny and Lindsay, I'd say.
I guess, yeah. Oh, yeah. But
So
yeah, and Thomas looks kind of weird. Just like, I don't know, something about the neckline and that shoulder. Something feels a little off there to me, but.
he's yeah, they're all it's weird. Sometimes it feels like it's 90s, shoulder pads and stuff, pouches, but sometimes it also feels like 80s hair metal band.
Yeah, this
Especially
looks a
Johnny
bit.
in the back there. He's like, I don't know, gonna break into song any second. I
Right.
think it should be like fire around him, but it's white. It looks more like a spider web somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, the coloring on these covers is always a little funky. So it goes, though. But yeah, inside, we get actually like a really Psi-Force usually has more, but it has sort of an interesting use of that inside cover page. So yeah, it is Fabian Nicieza as writer and Rodney Ramos ending yet another comic series as penciler.
Rodney the Killer Ramos.
Comic killer. But yeah, under the where it usually gives us the backstory, it's an interview with Wayne Tucker, excerpted from Playboy magazine, April issue 1998. So this is like probably the biggest peek into the future that we'll ever get from the new universe, if I had to guess.
If I had to guess also, yeah, this is probably the only fixed point in the future, which
Yeah. Of course, we both looked up the April 1998 issue of Playboy, which has Linda Brava on the cover, who's like a violinist who also undresses.
I thought at first that was Pamela Anderson.
It looked like Pam
It does look
Anderson,
like her, but she's an attractive woman who plays the violin. Okay.
right.
And the interview subject in that is apparently Joe Esterhaus, a Hollywood screenwriter. So much less exciting in some ways, but
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm not sure that issue is worth tracking down to add to the new universe file.
I wouldn't bother, yes. But the interview is interesting. We have just Wayne Tucker talking, and Playboy is what was, at least back then, had a lot of very long, in-depth interviews. Could really it was pretty well respected for that.
Yeah. So we kind of get, Playboy's like, Wayne, you've come out of hiding to tell your story, right? So where does it begin? He says, honestly, I think we had about six beginnings and four endings. You must mean the beginning of the end, eh? The events that developed after World War III started. So, which made me think like this is taking place after the war starts, but I haven't read the war yet, so it's hard to be conclusive about that. Either way, it doesn't. It might only connect a little bit. But yeah, she said, that's right. Your recruitment of Sidera Bakut specifically. So, like, oh, okay. So they kind of go through a few things. Interestingly, he says, this is after we'd lost Ty, Stassi, and Kathy, which when I first read it seemed like they were implying that they all died since Stassi did. But then they said that they came back. So it said later, Ty and Kathy came back. So did Crawley for that matter. But this is after we've been put through the ringer. We just killed Rostvow, survived Tenzin's judgment, yada, yada. Some weird comments about Thomas Boyd's powers, which I couldn't really make any sense out of. And
Yeah.
then.
I
Johnny
mean, no, go ahead. Sorry.
says Johnny was an autistic pyrokinetic, still is for that matter. And then they say, how has the young man been since the incident at Los Alamos? I'm like, okay. So again, just kind of like cryptic little hints that I'm guessing will have never and probably will never be followed up on. But yeah, just kind of interesting that, in 1998, Wayne is in hiding. Maybe they all are, but at some point, what was left of the original crew of Psi-Force came back together, I guess. So.
Yeah, I don't know, Johnny was, still is for that matter. Lindsay was, Thomas was. So I don't know if we should read anything into that, but
Yeah.
he's the only Johnny's the only one that he definitively says is still breathing. But so I mean, he says we're all breathing, so
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
It's weird to think, I mean, Playboy would do interviews, but I don't know if any of them were with like rogue, paramilitary, possibly terrorist groups. So I don't know.
Well,
A little weird.
the 90s were a crazy time, so anything's possible. The title for this comic in the splash page is The Fist of Love.
This made me think of Love Fist from GTA Vice City for some reason.
Don't know. Either way, I don't really get the reference, or it doesn't seem to make any sense for the
Love has a peace
story.
symbol in it, which is also weird.
Right. Don't know. I guess Nastasia was running out of title ideas. But we get a date, May 13th, 1989, Herat, near the Afghan-Iranian border. A Soviet supply camp has maintained a steady flow of arms to the troops fighting to consolidate Iran under communist rule. The Mujahideen Afghan freedom fighters have accepted the loss of their country to the Russian bear, but that doesn't mean they've stopped fighting. So instead of trying to reclaim their country, they're trying to mess up Russia's operations in Iran.
Interesting.
Anyway, we kind of have like the classic, Mark Hazard or early Spitfire looking Russian base surrounded by fence, straight out of a video game. And there's like five shadowed figures, like up on the hill. Again, these Russians never seem to learn their lesson and protect the hills surrounding their low-lying bases. But hey.
The genome soldiers will do well this time, I promise you.
Right. So you got like two Russians and berets, or funky. Yeah, I guess beret. Berets, smoking outside of the fence when someone kind of one of the shadowed figures comes up and throws knives, hitting them both in the neck, killing them. And as they're clipping open the fence, we get Link. I still think this is a stupid idea. Maybe so, Sergeant Major. And we're like, what?
Would
So,
it be?
yeah, Sergeant Major, if you don't remember, was from Mark Hazard Merc. He was one of the like extended cast of mercenary buddies when the second half or like the second writer for Mark Hazard came in. And Lincoln Griffin, that was, well, we're assuming Lincoln Griffin, more on that later. He was Mark Hazard's mercenary replacement, who was supposed to be like cooler and younger and stuff. But last
Last
we
we
heard of
saw him.
him, yeah, he was wandering off to take it to Moscow, like with like 20 Afghans, they were gonna storm the capital.
Yeah, it was him and Sergeant Major and just whatever spare troops they could get, and they were going to try to, show the Russians that they weren't safe on their own ground as long as they're
Right.
in Afghanistan, something like that.
We never got to see how that well that worked out, but maybe it's implying that now.
We sort of imagined it as being like from the Starbrand issue where Gladiator was trying to walk to Moscow to destroy it,
Right.
but it's successful.
So the five of them go through the fence, and immediately a light shines down on them from one of the guard towers. So they're not very good at playing Metal Gear. And it's, yeah, so it's the woman, presumably our Sidara, Sergeant Major Lincoln Griffin, and two Afghans. Two Mujahideen guys, Hosni and unnamed guy, from best I can tell.
We get Hosni has got a RPG or bazooka or something, and other guy doesn't have a name for the next couple pages.
Okay.
But
The Hosni, points his RPG up at the tower, but he gets shot. Kind of unceremoniously, and a whole bunch of Russians come storming out. Basically, everybody's just standing there, open ground, firing at each other. So again, it's a little tricky to keep everybody straight, except for maybe hair color. So they're look the Lincoln Griffin, Sergeant Major, and the bunch are looking to retire, to retreat and return fire. And Sergeant Major says, "Link, let's use Sidera," and then he gets shot. At this point, probably dead. We'll find out later. There's like blood spatter on the woman's face. So well, there goes one new universe character. So now it's just down to Lincoln and Sidara and the other Afghan. And we get a little bit of a Sergeant Major. Oh no. And then they're like, "Sidara, get us out of here." So, her eyes start glowing, and then it's like a line of energy appears and kind of draws a rectangle. And this opens up, like literally, like a door swinging open, a portal, which is kind of interesting. So, yeah, I guess there's a little bit of shooting in between then, but they all hop through, pulling their wounded through, which, seems like bad timing, and escape as the Russians kind of look at the portal, thinking, like, what is this thing? It looks like some mirror or something, but they walk through it. I'm like, let's follow them. You go first, right? So perhaps wisely not running and jumping right through the portal like a superhero thing. So anyway, I guess that brings them, Lincoln Griffin and the group, back to their base, with the now dead Sergeant Major and Hosni. We get someone's like, "What happened?" It's like, "What do you think happened, you idiot? We were ambushed. Now help us tend to Hosni and Sergeant Major." And the other African says, "Lincoln, I am sorry. He was a good fighter." And Griffin says, "Yes, he was a good friend. I'm going to miss him. He might be all that was left of my conscience, all that was left of my soul." Like, okay, I'm not sure where this is all coming from. Like, they were
There's a
definitely
tear in his
friends.
eye. Yeah, I don't know,
Definitely
man.
friends, but all that was left of his conscience. So maybe
I was gonna
Griffin.
kill everyone, but then Sergeant Major told me to, take it down a notch. I don't.
Maybe Lincoln Griffin took a villain turn that we didn't ever know about. But it feels like it came a little out of nowhere. Sidara comes up to him. She's like, "I'm sorry, Lincoln." He's like, "It's my fault, Sidara. We confirmed our greatest fears." And she says, "All it cost us was two good warriors." It's like, "There's a traitor in this camp, and he's gonna pay for this." I'm like, and when reading this, I'm like, "Huh? What?" Because they killed two guards, walked through the fence, and then they were spotted, which to me doesn't necessarily mean that like someone knew they were coming. Maybe those smoking guards would have paid a little bit more attention. But anyway, I guess this is confirmation enough for him.
Yeah, there's like such a large number of people responding to the alarm, you know what I mean?
Right.
That maybe they were more prepped than they should have been if they just randomly showed up. It would
Yeah.
have been like a couple guys. Even if the light gets you, you're still it's just one or two guys and for the first few minutes.
Right. There's like a
Yeah, the other
full.
guy who escaped was Bakut, I guess, the
Oh,
name.
okay. Was that
Yeah.
Bakut? Did they ever
Yeah,
say
it's on
his
the
name
top
there?
of I know Bakut, Sidara, get us out of here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Bakut. He becomes important later. Maybe. So we cut to 6 hours later over Mashhad, Iran. And then we got a helicopter with probably my favorite panel in the book, though not necessarily for good reasons. Cyphorus, of course, is now working for Medusa Web. So you've got Wayne and Lindsay, Thomas, and Johnny all in there, all geared up and ready to go, basically, wearing parachutes. And Johnny is drawn to be about 3 feet tall.
He comes up to
Maybe.
Thomas's waist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we looked up the official handbook pages. Johnny is supposed to be 5'2" and about 95 pounds.
Right. Notably, he's supposed to be about the same, the exactly the same height as Lindsay, who he's standing even with. Like, he's standing a little in front of Thomas. So perspective wise, like, he's almost just a little bit more than half of a Lindsay. So, like,
Yeah,
that's.
she is 5'2" and 96 pounds.
Yeah,
You can
so.
really only tell them apart by their eye color. So
So it's,
Yeah, it is. He's a hobbit or something.
it looks like someone hit He-Man with a shrink ray. It's really, really bad. But dust off
Also, the
is,
uniforms are not as flashy as the cover. They're just
no, they're like black versions of the same outfits, I guess. They like the shoulder pads. I'm not sure what benefit those really have in a sneaking mission or a gunfight, but lots of
looking
pouches,
cool, as they
lots
say.
of strappy things, things strapped to your leg and whatnot. Lindsay's wearing heels, which again, I don't think makes that much sense, but
Yeah.
yeah. But Babel's there in the helicopter again for some reason, just to throw him in there, and they all parachute out. After a little joke with Dust Off. And so they're all parachuting down when Johnny sets a flame to himself, which is again his power, which then burns up his parachute, which kind of panics Thomas. He's like, Wayne, stop him. He's like, no, he's fine. In fact, he's having fun. I guess he can fly, right?
Yeah, according to this I was I hadn't really noticed that in his previous appearances either, so
Yeah. Something
but I don't
something thermal updrafts or something.
lighter than air, yeah,
Yeah.
maybe.
He's so small that he just gets blown around by the wind. But yeah, so he's just kind of like smiling and laughing. So it's kind of neat, but also feels like they're bringing a child into a war zone on a death mission, which is maybe a little wrong. Like,
Child soldiers, yeah, there you go.
So yeah, like, Thomas is griping. He's like, oh, kid'll be the death of me yet. And he's like, yeah. And they tell him, you've turned into a kvetchy mother. And I was like, who would have believed Thomas Boyd as Donna Reed? Which is like a dated TV series reference from the 60s.
Yeah, 50s, yeah.
50s?
Donna
Yeah.
Reed show. She was I always think of her like her for the It's a Wonderful Life performance, but
Yeah.
yeah, she had her like a domestic sitcom for a while.
Yeah. I guess Wayne was real up on that. So anyway, so they bury their parachutes and pull out some kind of funky tracking device that looks like a knockoff Game Boy or something like that, maybe. It's kind of nifty.
Press A, B.
And I like the yeah, really the supply camp's about 6 kilometers northeast. We have 3 hours before sunup. We're gonna have to hustle. And Thomas is complaining like Ling quitting really is going to be a really hassle. She could have flown us over in minutes. And Thomas says, Kathy made her choice. I respect it. Just like I feel sorry for anyone who doesn't respect ours. Like okay. I'm not sure that the Russians have any problem with Psi-Force in particular. So I'm not sure who he's really calling out there. Maybe Medusa Webb, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't.
We cut back to Sidara kind of sneaking around the camp. And she says, she's thinking, if my suspicions are correct, I can't tell Stryker what I'm doing. And I'm like, who the heck is Stryker?
Striker.
For clarity's sake, she's referring to Lincoln Griffin, who they're now calling Stryker or Lincoln Stryker for some reason. But it didn't make any sense at the time. So she sneaks around, grabs a backpack, goes through a portal back to the Russian base in Afghanistan, and is looking to do something. I'm not really sure. Just blow stuff up, I guess.
Yeah, I think she was, I don't know, whatever their original mission was. I thought she was just going to do it by herself, the stuff
Yeah.
or something.
So she's thinking, sneaking around, thinking, I could use the plastiques. I'm still too far away. So she's kind of around the corner hiding, and there's one guard posted at this, ammo dump or something that she wants to blow up. So she's thinking this requires a more personal touch and pulls out a knife, a more enjoyable one. So I guess she loves the killing. All right. She was supposed to be, what did the thing say? Cold-blooded, right? So
There you
here we
go.
go. And just as she's like pulling back her, drawing back her arm to launch the throwing knife, her arm gets kicked, And the knife gets kicked out of her hand, and it's actually Thomas Boyd showing up, who gives her the shush. It's like, put the gun down or you lose your face. It's like, you're a pretty fast draw, little girl. Cold too, using a blade like that. So I guess he recognized that they're kind of on the same mission there. So he pulls out like a bolo, so like that ball on a string thing, and says, sometimes it pays to see their eyes. Kind of gives you the feeling of power. It's more fun than pinning his neck with a knife at 30 feet. Okay, which is again kind of weird. But basically, he slings this long line out all the way to the Russian soldier, and the round sort of bolo end wraps around the guy's neck. And then he uses his energy draining powers through the wire. So it looks like the guy's getting zapped, but he explains that he figured out that he can use his powers. You trigger your leaching enzyme through bioelectrical stimulation, which can be just as easily transmitted through a metallic object into a target. So.
This is the first case of there's several times where the dialogue balloons aren't clearly defined who's talking.
Yeah, because it's pointing at Sidara, but
I think it's
I
Lindsay.
think it's a miscolored Lindsay. Yeah.
Yeah. Lindsay's off in the top left corner, so
Oh yeah, so it's the right character but drawn, but that's the wrong aiming of the word balloon, I think.
yeah,
Because
but
unless she just happens to know everything about his powers.
yeah, sometimes you're like, you kind of, they put in a little explanation from like the person who's new there, their point of view, but that doesn't
Yeah.
make sense in this case because it's like something that Lindsay apparently had just figured out. So mark this as Lindsay finally is using her powers smartly to figure out other people's powers.
Right? She's actually somewhat useful in this one. So yeah, she kind of like touches the soldier and kind of figures out the guy's patrol route and where they keep their weapons. Which Sidara sort of already knew. And Wayne's kind of using his mind powers, thinking, we know lots of things, like the fact there's only five guards still patrolling. And like, that is Sidara. There's a you speak English well, that'll help if you'll work with us. She's like, you know my name? And she's looking at Johnny. He is as young as I am, but so innocent. Why are you here? Good
And half
question.
my size.
Yeah. He's actually grown a little bit because in the next panel, he's maybe only a head shorter than Lindsay. So maybe he's grown from 3 to 4 feet. So a slight improvement. Yeah. But anyway, they basically, come together. They have the same plan. Soviet supply camp's been prolonging the conventional war raging in Iran, and we're here to stop it. We're kind of like God's naughty angels. Okay. And Thomas takes
Where's
him. Oh, go ahead.
Sidara says, you've talked to me before in my mind. We're talking to Tom, Thomas, yeah. I think that's like we had quickly seen back in issue 25 a bunch of random paranormals from around the world, or also people were just related to Psi-Force.
That's right.
And that's where Sidara was. So apparently she felt something. That maybe was is all she's talking about.
That makes sense. It's kind of just thrown in there, though. So that's a good catch.
I thought, yeah, like also during the sorry, the Siberian Project, sometimes they'd be like, oh, Wayne's always talking to me behind my back or something. It's like,
Yeah.
I don't think it was that like that.
Right. So Thomas, takes it upon himself to, blow up this building, maybe somewhat ineffectually by putting the explosives on the outside of the building instead of the inside where all the exploding stuff is. He sets the charge for 3 minutes, but as he's working, Johnny's trying to get his attention, but Johnny kind of just makes some noises. He's like, it's like, not now. Daddy's busy setting up explosive charges. Again, kind of shouldn't he be more of an older brother than a daddy figure, but the kid's like, mule, rah, rah. He's like, go burn something, will you? And the kid shrugs and like, okay. Because yeah, Russian soldiers were coming up on them, So Johnny just launches like a flame attack on him, you know, takes out one and then kind of wraps the other one in flames, until Thomas finally figures out what's going on and like pulls out one of those like collapsible staff Nightwingy kind of things and smacks the guy and knocks him unconscious. I was like, they got a search sweep going. They heard us. You better be quick about this. 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, presumably till the explosion. So they work their way to sneaking around some more. What is that thing called? Like a garrote or something? Like that
Yeah,
wire?
I think so.
I thought initially maybe they were trying not to kill these guys, and that's why Thomas stopped the woman from killing that first Russian and just energy drained him. But then they're just straight up like choking out these guys.
Yeah, I started a kill count for this issue. I can't tell like whether the guys on the previous page were killed or not, but if everyone who goes down, the numbers add up pretty quickly.
I mean,
There's
I
at
could
least
see
three here that I
Thomas,
think are.
but it seems a little out of character for Lindsay to just straight up be murdering guards.
It does, but that's the only other I that I can
It's
like.
definitely her.
Yeah. It's honestly weirder for me for Thomas to kill people because if you're a psychic, you can read people's minds, and it would seem
Yeah.
like for like you'd feel their pain or something, and so you wouldn't be quite as aggressive as he's being in this.
You could also just, you know, tell them to go take a nap and don't wake up till tomorrow and forget any of this ever happened. Done.
So true.
And they said there's only five guards. I think he could have done that pretty easily to the whole base. So, but instead, the
Go take a walk in the
strong
rain, buddy.
one. Yeah, right? And he'd have to wait forever because I'm guessing it doesn't rain that much, right? All right. Wayne and Lindsay sneak into the administrative building, I suppose. And Lindsay's using her powers again, kind of in a useful way. So she goes up to a desk and is overtiming now, getting a lot of images. Major paper pusher working here. He hates it too. They received an arms shipment 2 days ago. It's going out tomorrow to Iran and the fighting in Israel.
Israel.
What? Fighting in Israel? That doesn't sound
Oh, what the
right.
heck? Oh, man, don't let the US Congress find out about it. They'll be like shipping money over there fast or something.
And Sadara is in there too. She's like, "That's why we tried to sabotage earlier." And Lizzie says, "They knew you were coming. You have a traitor in your camp." And she replies, "I believe it is an American, Lincoln Stryker." We're assuming Lincoln Griffin, a mercenary, not a true Mujahideen. He's like, you're not gonna like the answer. And then Wayne, which presumably they're mind reading together, is like, hun, I was like, oh, you're right. He's thinking, Boyd. Now. So he mentally commands Boyd to start the explosions. So they blow up the arms depots. Johnny's flying above, playing with the flames, mixing the flames and causing it to blow up more buildings. I mean, best I can tell, he's grabbing the fire and attacking other buildings with it, but it's kind of unclear in the art.
Yeah, there's something going on. Buildings are getting blown up. Okay, there you go.
Why didn't he just, he can create flames out of nothing though, so there's no reason for him to like, he's not like requires the flames to exist, then he can make them grow or anything like that. But I don't know, whatever. So they run off. The Russians are looking for fire extinguishers, trying to put out the flames. Again, good luck, and then maybe you shouldn't do that if there's explosives in there.
You should honestly get very far away from a building that's filled with the ammo that's exploding.
Exactly. So they all run off together and like, Sadara, get us out of here. And she's like, you know? It's like many things, right? Well, very well then. So they were briefed on her or whatever. So she opens up a portal. They run through and again back to the base where the Mujahideen and Lincoln Griffin slash Stryker is housed. They kind of like fall through. And Sadara's like, we must prepare for a counterattack because of traitor Russians know of camp location. And Wayne's like, yeah, probably, but they got no air support, no ground equipment, and their buns are burning up. We have time. It's like, I think they had jeeps and stuff, but.
They knew where the camp was before, so
Right.
yeah, anyway.
Anyway, so, bloodthirsty Sidara is like, time enough then for revenge. Griffin Lincoln runs up. Sidara, who are these people? What's going on? She pulls a gun on him. Traitor, it was you all along. You never believed in the Mujahideen cause. American pig. Like, he's literally a mercenary, but he also went to war with Moscow for you, though maybe she doesn't know that.
Yeah, she does a little racial profiling pretty quickly on this one,
Yeah. He's like, listen, kid. And Wayne cuts in and says, Sidara, no. She's like, no. It's like, no. Stryker's been profiting from the arms and drug trafficking, but he's not the traitor. And I'm like, what? He's profiting from the Russian arms and drug trafficking that he's trying to stop? Like,
I mean, he's selling arms to the Mujahideen. Okay.
right.
Oh, and the Mujahideen protect the drug traffic. Thanks for the opium epidemic,
Yeah.
there, buddies.
Was that what that big white thing with the rope around it is on the previous page? Is that like a big thing of drugs or something?
Could
Just leaving
be.
their
You'd have to
drugs
ask
lying there?
Justice to really identify these things. But yeah, it's that's how they financed it. The CIA gets them to grow poppies.
That's right.
Sell drugs to, I don't know, Vietnam or something.
A great plan
Golden
all
Triangle or
around.
whatever you call it. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to. You said not to get into my rabbit hole of conspiracy theories, which are so well known now. They're on Wikipedia. But anyway.
Don't think that one was a conspiracy theory, though.
Yeah, that's exactly what. Anyway.
Maybe at the time. But she's like, well, if not him, then who? And Wayne points to him, Bakut. Like, what? Bakut's just sitting there. Me. who I guess was the guy who was on the mission with them, right?
Yeah.
Which is like,
He's the only other guy who had a name,
he told
though.
them to ambush the people.
And he went on the mission with
He
them.
went
Yeah.
on the mission. Okay. I mean, this will make even less sense in a second. But she's like, why? And like her eyes glow, and there's like a little line of energy or whatever forming. It's like, I was afraid we were going to lose, to die. We have so much already. I was thinking of your welfare, Sidara. And then she just kills him by like blasting her energy through his forehead. Just straight up. She crumples to the ground and just kind of breathing heavy. And they go to comfort her. Lindsay and Thomas do. Somebody scribbled out this page with a black marker.
Lindsay and Johnny.
Oh, Johnny, right? Thank you. And she's like, my mother, my brother, so many dead. What was it all worth? And Stryker, Lincoln Griffin's like, what did he get out of it? Money, protection. Wayne's mentally talking to Thomas. He's like, that was the hardest thing she had to do in a very hard life. And Thomas is like, could have fooled me. He's like, she did. Bakut was her father. Again, like, to protect her, he sets up an ambush that him and her could be killed on.
I don't know. I mean, if everyone there knew that he was the traitor, maybe they would be like, don't shoot that one guy, but I don't
Yeah,
that doesn't
seems.
seem like a great plan. You're right.
Yeah, it does not. So she's crying, and everybody's kind of standing around looking at her. Then we cut to a prologue. The next day, May 14th, a sunrise, and Wayne and Lindsay are in a hot springs or something. I don't know.
According to Wikipedia, Herat, where they said this is takes place, is a like a desert oasis,
Oh,
but it's
okay.
also like a city of 500,000 people, so it's not
Yeah.
like this. But okay, what
Not
yeah,
like finding an oasis in Final Fantasy or something where it's like three
it's
tents and a couple of guys selling potions.
it's a it confused me at first. I was like, did they already jet off to the beach somewhere? But
Yeah.
okay, what.
So Wayne's there, been thinking. He says, "It's kind of nice being here with you, like we're the only people in the world." And she says, "A shame it can't last. What do you think of Sidara? Is she ready for what we have in mind?" It's like, oh, just killing people for a shadow government type organization. It's like, more than we are, I think. She's got nothing left. Boyd's got Johnny and me. Maybe I'm getting old, but I'm going to be a lot more careful from now on, worrying about a wife and all. She says, "Wife?" It's like, if you'll have
Sidara?
No, he transfers the cross earring, which for some reason means a lot to him, though it was never really outlined that much. So she says yes and splashes him and hugs him. It's like, God, thank you. It's gonna be great, hon, I promise. We'll go and murder people together and get shot at all the time. I'm sure it'll be glorious. It's like back to the camp, and Thomas found a football. So he gets really excited. He's like, "I found this football in Stryker, Lincoln Griffin's tent. It's the first chance I've had to toss one around for months now. Don't screw around." And Johnny's looking at him. He says, "Flutie to Stingley, 5 yards. That's all I'm asking. You're hopeless, man." I think that was like a famous Hail Mary play. He should have said Magna Conti to Corbin, like tie in.
Yeah, there we
Come
go.
on, come on. Whatever.
I recognize Flutie as a person, but Stingley doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, Doug Flutie, I think when he played for Boston College, he had like this famous, like miraculous Hail Mary play to win some sort of game, but I don't remember how important it was. It's been a minute. Johnny's just kind of dancing around saying, "Resum, resum," and Thomas laughs at him. Johnny, who's I guess back to like 4 feet tall now, he kind of goes up to his chest and grabs onto Thomas and says, "I love you." He's like, "You talked," and he grabs him. It's like, "I love you too, but hopefully in a platonic way or a familial way." It's like, "Oh, Stas, I hope you can see this." Kind of random.
I mean, it was like a Stassi, like he was, I think originally like taking care of Johnny because Stassi was gone and he
Oh, okay, yeah.
and
It's not very well connected there. We cut to Sidara, our potentially new Psi-Forcer, while the series ends. And then she's sitting here by graves, presumably of her whole family. Questionable,
hello.
perhaps, whether Muslims would use crosses to mark graves, because
That's
they'd.
a, that was also my question. Yeah, I thought it was the two guys who got killed in the first couple of pages and Bakut, but you may be right because his her family, her mother and brother or something were also killed. I don't know if that's all,
Yeah.
but anyway,
She's
you're
talking
right.
about her whole family, at least, but.
Crosses in, yeah, Muslim lands doesn't seem like the way you would do it, but I honestly don't know what do they do, so.
Yeah, I mean, big M for Muhammad.
It's usually a crescent that, you know, that's
yeah.
like that would look like the Star Brand. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That would have been kind of fun too. Man, it'd be funny if Starbrand killed her family on accident, like when he was flying around there, kind of blowing up the Russian planes and stuff.
Retcon that in the next time we get to.
Done, done. She's like, "I've had enough of your way, father. I think for mother and brother's sake, I will forsake the past. I'll stop killing Russians and start killing for money. Stop killing for freedom and start killing just because." She's like, "When there's so much to look forward to." So again, they're kind of packing up camp. She says goodbye to the bodies of her family. Lincoln Griffin rolls up on a horse. He's like, "Where are you off to now?" He's like, "Me? Well, Florida's starting to sound pretty nice right about now. Mostly everybody thinks we should ride into Iran and see what's happening in the Gulf. Lots of money to be made, lots of wrongs to be righted. It's a living." So now he's taking a pill. Taking the Mujahideen to Iran for reasons. Okay. They part ways. He says to Sidara, "May Allah be with you wherever your path may lead you, child of the Fury." Okay. Did she have that nickname before?
Sure. It's a little long for a code name, but
Yeah.
fine.
So he rides off, leaving like a big splash page of Psi-Force. I'd say Johnny's shrunk down to like 3.5 feet in this one, which again kind of ruins the like imagery that they were going for.
It's a nice pose off. Everyone's in their, combat uniforms, and aside from Johnny being half the size he's supposed to be, looks tough.
And like, did they have a plan to get picked up or something? Like, is dust off waiting for them or something? But we get one more page, like, where are we going now? And then they let Sidara pick. Like, I don't know if they're on vacation now or something. She says, "Well, I think Switzerland. I've always wanted to see a land of snow, but how will we get there?" And so again, she teams up with Lindsay, who uses her powers to kind of show her what she's seen, I guess. And maybe she's just tying it to her own clothing or something. It's like, and you pick up the bioelectrical feedback and you can feel the snow. And so she opens up a portal. They hop in and say, "What's next, folks? I don't know. What do you think? I think there's a whole lot of butt out there that needs kicking."
Woo.
The portal closes, and then instead of the end, it says the beginning. Ooh. I kind of like the splash page as the ending rather than having them walk off into the portal. But yeah, that's it. That's all the Psi-Force you will ever get.
Ah, man,
That's
that
a
was
it was kind
rough.
of a weird ending, but I guess it does kind of show. I was kind of imagining it was going to propel them, like, all right, they're a team now. They're going off on these adventures. You're not going to get to see them, but like that's kind of like their ending, which is kind of what I was guessing we were going to get. So.
Yeah, it that's I that was kind of the vibe I was getting too, and so yeah, we got a one mission together, I guess, kind of a dirty one, and
Yeah, I would say.
man, like, it's they don't necessarily have like the code against killing that the Marvel Universe has, but it's like it's almost always just Russian soldiers are
Right.
like.
And we don't really know yet what the Russians are supporting and like what sides are people on and like what the conflict is. It's just sort of like vaguely Middle Eastern Iran conflicts with maybe Israel thrown in there. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird for us. I think, yeah, Afghanistan's still under Soviet occupation. I forget, they must withdraw pretty quick soon after this in the real world. But expanding into Iran, which after their own revolution in whatever 79, I don't know what their relationship was, but it's evolved over the years. They never tried to invade it themselves, so I don't know. Yeah, it's a well, it's a it's it gives us some hints maybe about what the war is going to be. But yeah, we were talking before the show of whether we should have started reading the war before this. I don't. I mean, hopefully not. I mean, this is.
It did come out before, right? So.
It comes out a little before, but mostly, I mean, we talked before the dating in this is May, middle May. Justice is still somewhere back in October, and I don't know. Starbrand was like end of February. DP7 could be close to this, but otherwise, I don't think most of the other books are really like pushing the timeline even this far forward. So if the war starts, it's probably in the spring. And
It was
does
kind of
end.
cool to see a couple of the Mark Hazard mercenary buddies together, even if it was discount Mark Hazard. It was a little bummer to have Sergeant Major just kind of die right away. I mean, he wasn't that big of a deal of a character, but it's like, hey, Sergeant Major, oh, he's dead. Hey,
Yeah,
Lincoln Griffin, no, he's Stryker now.
that was weird to me too. I mean, Sergeant Major was in there for a couple of issues, nice enough character. But yeah, it's sort of like, why would you have some character that's so spot on for Lincoln Griffith and then call Griffin and then call him this other name? Did they? We would have probably joked about, like, oh, we're going to Afghanistan. Maybe Lynn Griffin will be there. Then this guy shows up and we're like, oh, it's him. What do you know? But then it's not. So is,
I'm assuming
I,
it is him.
it's probably, but it's like if it also, if we hadn't seen him, we would be like, well, maybe he'll show up in the war. Now
Right.
I'm actually seriously wondering if there is like Griffin is in the war and they didn't want to waste whatever he was doing on this in this,
It'd be funny if he started the war or something, you know?
that would be great.
It's like, oh, Afghanistan's invaded. My pet theory is that, you know, since he rode off to take it to Moscow last time, but now he's back here kind of like doing what he had been doing. I think he was so like embarrassed by what happened and like probably getting all those poor people killed, that then he
What was I
changed his
thinking?
name to Stryker.
It does have like a Max Power vibe to it. Like, what's my name? Lincoln, Striker with a Y. Striker,
I'd be
two
striking at your
Ys.
bases.
No, just one was. So who knows?
That's my
I'm more
theory of
curious about
him.
the war now. So, I guess
Yeah,
that's a mission
finally a little bit
accomplished.
of something.
We'll see if we get out of that. But I don't know. Yeah. So for me, this was, I mean, it certainly, it had that like, we're going to wrap things up and kind of show you that they're heading off into new adventures, which unfortunately we don't get a chance to show you. In some ways, the progression of the team and everything is seems a little fast over the last couple of issues.
Yeah, a little weird to introduce like a new member of Psi-Force in the final issue of Psi-Force. But
Bizarre,
I
yeah,
guess
but
like
okay.
it's in the letters a little bit, but they had originally planned to maybe do like some graphic novel-y bookshelf format, you know, follow-up books. So maybe it was
That would have
possible
also
that you were going to get more Psi-Force.
I know I heard of DP7 definitely saying they were going to do stuff, but that the other books would have also continued in some way or other would have been cool, except for you, Starbrand, not so fast.
Yeah, no,
But
Starbrand's gone, so
I don't know. It's again, the art holds it back. The writing is, it's not his greatest, but it's got like a positive, upbeat tone, a little bloody, but a lot of action, and it's it's got it's sort of a hope for the future that you don't usually kind of get from a book, you know what I mean?
I guess,
So
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, the art's really funky. It's pretty laughable. Just again, you know, for some reason, ever since Johnny entered this book, like nobody can draw him.
Like I said, Johnny is the height and weight of Lindsay, and well, I mean that already it gives it kind of a weirdly. I mean, are you like the second couple in Psi-Force now? I don't want to know about that.
Maybe all of our complaints about not being able to tell them apart, like traveled back through time and reached them. And they're like, we must make them different. Give him long hair and make him 3 feet tall.
It's fine. I think let's see, Lindsay was finally useful. That's
Yep.
good. And so we got that box checked.
Wayne basically didn't need to be there.
Thomas continues sort of being this older brother figure. Johnny, again, it's kind of Rain Man. You know, that would it's not a whatever, it's not like how autism is usually portrayed now, so it's kind of
No.
a old-fashioned thing, but
Definitely feels like bringing a child to a war zone. Powers or not, like
I gotta, yeah, they really do, like, without Kathy and Tyrone, you know, it's like their power level is not as impressive as like their talk, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Wayne's all like,
agreed.
oh, we're the hottest thing in the world, you know. You're down about three-fourths of your heavy hitters, buddy.
I mean, Wayne is sort of supremely powerful, I would say, to the point where, like, in other times in the book, they had to kind of like knock him out of it, you know, like
It's
daze
true.
him
He
or
is.
surprise him or, you know, have him, in a coma, because otherwise he would just be able to, like, solve everything right away because his power is so strong. But here he just doesn't even bother to use it.
It's true. He's got like Professor X level mental powers. So yeah, that's pretty good. Thomas, I think of as just kind of a one-on-one
Right.
power, but now he's kind of expanding that a bit. Okay, good. Yeah, art problems aside, I don't know. Nukin B plus.
Dang. Yeah, I'd be on the Pitts side. Like,
Really?
overall, like, the direction I think I'm happy with and kind of like what happened, but like a lot of the stuff, like, I didn't figure, I had no clue about Bakut. Like, I just it just to me, because you see his name like once briefly, to me he's just like, oh well, her dad showed up and he's the traitor and he's dead. Like, there's no setup, there's no why should I care. Like, I've got no reason to care about her or her killing her father. She's just a brand new character, so like there's no feelings there. I got more feelings towards Sergeant Major, who's like a next to nobody character. But yeah, the art was rough. The whole action scene stuff was kind of hard to follow. And just the character choices, like Wayne not using his powers, just didn't really make any sense. So I would go Pitts on this one. C, C plus.
Wow,
It's all
wow.
right. Like, I'm kind of happy with the ending, but that's about it.
Maybe I let that overshadow it a
I mean,
bit.
just look at that page. With them in the helicopter, like the fourth or fifth. It's like, come on, man. Like, where's the editor?
Okay. I'll draw some grid lines for perspective when I post that one of these days.
So tiny.
Oh, it's
There's a boatload of letters we should probably get to.
yeah, you know, actually, what is it? It's, they just posted Justice 5 or 6, the one with the little girl, Sarah,
Yeah.
on the fan Facebook page the other day, and that's about the size differential
Right.
she was compared to Justice, about how Johnny compares to Thomas here. Oh, if I guess we will segue over to the letters page. Letters to Psi-Force. It is.
Two-page extravaganza.
All right. They got a lot of letters, and I think they're catching up a little. So, but they start off with a announcement, which comes as no surprise to everyone who saw the cover. The rumors you have may have heard are true. The issue you're holding in your hands is the last monthly issue of this New Universe title. In fact, all of the New Universe books suspend publication this month. Though we tried our best to make the 4 new U books like nothing else on the market, and indeed captured an extremely loyal, hardcore following, the numbers just aren't there to warrant further monthly publication. Do not despair, loyal new Unifiles. The New Universe is not dead. It's just in hibernation. On sale this month is the first issue of the 4-part The War graphic album, and our plans are to do similar new universe projects in the same format in the months to come. Let us know who you'd like to see return, okay? On behalf of myself and the creative teams of DP7, Justice, Psi-Force, and even the Star Brand, I thank you all for making our efforts worthwhile. No one will miss the universe, new universe titles more than me. Howard A. Mackey, editor.
In the beginning, of, or I guess the of like Metal Gear 5 Phantom Pain, like the guy wakes up from a coma and like, I'm afraid it's been 9 years. Like, we're still waiting to wake up from that coma and get more new universe. It'll be like, I'm afraid it's been 40 years since we visited the new universe almost.
He has come to, yes. I mean, it's part of the, it's amazing looking back this far. And you know, when we see anachronistic, you know, things like, you know, Wayne listening to Buddy Holly or something, it's
Right.
like that was only 30 years before, you
Yeah, that's
know,
true.
I'm talking about a comic book 40 years after it was published. So,
Oh man.
ow.
Well, I mean, then you had the 90s, and then comics just never were the same.
Yeah, things went a little nuts in the 90s. I think we'll have a space to talk about that in the recap-ish episodes, but
Yeah.
we Psi-Force more than any other has become a 90s comic book in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah, it really was like a nice transition to it.
It bridged the 80s to the
They got
90s.
the pouches and the ninja outfits and everything.
It did. So it is nice to have you know, some closure, but I remember definitely that DP7 promised future graphic albums. And at you know, the war was it. We can see that from the production schedule and the sales figures that we believe we have. By the next year, it just wasn't in the cards anymore.
Yeah. It's
I
tough
think it's
though
paid.
to like kill the new you because the war didn't sell that well since the war was like totally separate from everything else, you know. Like if
It,
they had done
if
like
you
a
did run
major.
an annual DP7,
Right.
you know, thing, I think, you know, the sales would have been there.
Or even like a big eventy character crossover thing, like if it was, you know, New Universe Returns, DP7 meets Psi-Force or something like that, you know, and like that
Also
might have
good.
sold a little better.
Sure. Yeah, they weirdly you know, don't put anything in the title that'll suggest that we're connected to the new universe
Yeah.
titles that they all had. I yeah, it's a sadness. I think you know, within a year or two, all the other the creators had moved on, and whatever, you know, letter writing and whatever did it was,
Nothing,
you
no
know.
results, I guess.
I mean, we will we'll see how the war goes, but it's not encouraging. The book that killed the yeah, the books I don't know. I was just looking at some of Paul Ryan's credits, and I know he did I think Squadron Supreme, Death of the Universe or something in 89. So maybe it wasn't Quasar alone that he did with Gruenwald. Like maybe that
Yeah, I think
could
he
have
was only in like
started
the first
his.
couple issues of Quasar with Gruenwald, and then
I think it's six or so.
yeah.
But yeah, like doing a graphic novel with Gruenwald that same year sort of suggests like, hey, let's do a DP7 graphic novel. Let's write up some contracts. And then they're like, yeah, why don't you guys do something else?
Yeah. Yep. It wouldn't be the same without the two of them though. So like you can't really like replace either of them and move forward with it. So, or put in like
Yeah.
fill-in artist would just stink. Right.
More, that title more than any other. Yeah, you would be hard pressed. Let's take a quick look at the other letters that came in. You want to start off with the Jack Witzig?
I mean that one, the guy just asked a bunch of questions really, and didn't really give much of an answer. Honestly, I kind of like the second one where they kind of like tore into it a
Okay. Yeah,
little
the first one he, I don't know. Is Johnny Doe going to be a permanent role in the book? Yes.
bit.
That's what I get. Yeah.
For this one issue, yes. But yeah, Drew Curtis of Lexington, Kentucky. He's like, issue 28 was okay. That's as far as I'll go to praise you people. I'm not sure what has happened to this book. 3 months ago, it was host to one of the best stories ever chronicled in the new universe. The Psy-Hawk-Rothspell fight was not only professionally done, but also one of those classic New You endings. Whereas in real life, the good guy doesn't always win. And he may lose more than he bargained for. But yeah, he just complains. Current plot line is drifting aimlessly. Stories used to have a plot. It's bored with where they're in the Russian facility. What's the point? Yada, yada. As for the new artist, he doesn't make the story flow. The art is good, but not good enough. I mean, I think he was being kind there almost a little bit on some of those issues. But he gets a nice long reply. This is kind of like back in the era where like you they would have letters pages and reply to criticism. But it was interesting. He says, you make some valid points. For the record, knowledge of our impending cancellation was heard before tw issue 27 came out, which had been plotted months earlier. So don't blame the current art team for that. But that's just kind of like, all right, so from like 28 on, they knew it was ending. So there was no like surprise. So they had a run of issues to wrap it up, which is kind of interesting to know. He said, frankly, Fabian himself agrees with many of your criticisms, so he'd like to hear what you think about the four-part story as a whole. And Siberian Project was undertaken for a variety of reasons to internationalize our cast of characters, which it has, so they meant to shake it up, I guess. Though.
I guess, yeah, Johnny is Russian, although he's so,
Yeah.
with his other issues, you don't even notice that.
And then Sidara in this issue definitely internationalizes it a little bit.
Yeah, we're really getting into that.
So it was meant to solve some of the plot threads set up earlier in Justice and meant to be the climax, final battle against Rothsvell, which it did. And then they kind of, maybe wasn't as successful as we liked, kind of thing. As for your unresolved plot threads, they will be answered somewhere, somehow. That was our intention all along. But I don't think that's the case. But yeah, that's where I was thinking. Like they probably like had at least an idea that maybe there would be more future sci for us, and they set it up that this could be an ending, but also, you could spring off and tell the ongoing story if you wanted to.
Yeah, he makes a good analysis that subplot development is the lifeblood of a monthly publication like this. Developing them too quickly or too slowly is always a judgment call. And, periodical publications are completely, have an agenda of their own of trying to bring up a little something. Do like main story and have like a couple of things that will sort of get springboard you into the next issue and keep you coming back. So
If
it really
anything,
is a trick.
new universe books haven't been that cliffhangery. Like a lot of modern books are like really heavy into like every issue has a cliffhanger, kind of keep you going, like a Netflix TV series kind of thing.
Well, I maybe that's why he says like subplots, because you can have they criticize Shooter for a while being like every book should have a complete story or something. So there's a complete Spidey fights someone and the fight ends. But then there's like
But
May
who
didn't have
sent
enough
this
money this
guy?
month.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right.
So like what? Yeah, who's this mysterious stranger knocking? And you come back. Yeah. So, let's see. Next letter has Siberian Project Part 3 wasn't half bad, but their problems are just beginning. He finds the interaction between the different book characters interesting. Dirty Play, the backup story featuring Tyrone, wasn't much of a story, but it did help define his powers. You are definitely looking on the bright side there, Charles Novinsky. Oh, and here we get a something for just me, really.
Just for
Late
you,
flag.
absolutely.
Suppose they had a contest and everyone forgot about it. Does anyone remember the contest and name the letters pages? I know they had the contest because they buried the names of the winners in the back inside cover a few months ago. Now that the new universe is about to end, my bet is that the winning entries will never make it to the top of their respective letter columns.
You win.
You win, George. It is still Letters to Psi-Force, not Psi. Oh,
Yeah,
whatever it was.
I don't even remember what they were going to do. Yeah.
It was like signs or
Sign
something.
mail or sign something.
Yeah. So, yeah. I was so stressed out that they were going to change the letter column titles, which was the foundation of the new universe.
Yes, an
That's
important
just me.
foundation.
Can't contest winner. Well, maybe next time. He does say that like the backups are done for a variety of reasons, not least of which is the fact that few artists can stand the strain of a full 28 pages every month. We think that most of the new U titles had book-length epics as often as possible, all things considered. Yeah, it was interesting the way they sort of balanced, the different the extended main story, backup stories, and
Right.
maps and stuff. That was maybe got off to a better start than as it finished. It's a little disappointing that they didn't finish up some of the continuing stories, which gives you a very clear idea of how, not thought out some of
Yeah.
this actually was.
Yeah, they must have just had like a drawer of them or something. Like the next one's short and just it finds a mistake in the art and talks about how much they enjoy Rodney Ramos's art. Yeah, sure, okay. Another one, next one I thought was really interesting though. He said, I know that Psy-Hawk is summoned by that medallion, and that if more than five people summon him, he goes berserk, right? Well, can any paranormal summon it? And this is, I guess it finally gives some Psy-Hawk clarity, things that we kind of knew but weren't really sure. Since Psy-Hawk is not summoned by the medallion, I'm like, okay, so much for issues two and three or whatever, but rather by the psionic energy of certain paranormals. Said paranormals must have a specific psychic switch in their heads, which would enable them to tap into the Psy-Hawk entity, which was in reality nothing more than the paranormal vestiges of a CIA agent named Emmett Proudhawk. Okay. I'm not really sure how Emmett Proudhawk's paranormal leftovers made such a powerful being, because he wasn't really, he was just had Wayne's powers essentially, but okay.
Yeah, it was, well, it's tying it very specifically to Proudhawk because it always seemed to be like the union of all five of the
Yeah.
Psi-Force, but then there was something extra, and I guess
Right.
that was Proudhawk's
The power of
essence or something.
teamwork.
Yeah, so
And
the.
they make it 100% clear that it's dead though too, because it's like the point has been made moot when Rod Svoud destroyed the energy in Psi-Force 25. So like no ambiguity there.
No
Psi-Hawk is gone.
future Psy-Hawk. Yeah, it's I
Which
mean,
is
it
a
makes
waste.
sense in a way. It does. I mean, if you had a follow-up, I would have definitely brought back Psy-Hawk
Yeah,
somehow.
right.
I mean, you can say that Stassi is too dead to come back, but some psychic energy being, come on,
Could be
you would literally have
dispersed
to
and
kill
then
all the
it
guys.
can condense back, and they're hearing whispers in their mind, go back to San Francisco. Yeah.
Revitalize Stassi. Yeah. So interesting. I definitely remember some interviews or something that I got the feeling that Nicieza doesn't care much for the Psy-Hawk, and
Yeah.
there you go. So fine.
I don't know. I thought that was a really cool gimmick of the series, though. Like, but oh well.
It did sort of set them apart. I mean, yeah, without that, then yeah, they can just sort of switch people in and out. They can have as many as they want or as few.
Well, he also wrote in Lindsay Fellman for like 15 issues, and it took her till the last comic before she was really useful. So that's a slow build.
Yeah, the
I guess she used her credit card a lot, like she was supporting Wayne and
She's
them on
yeah.
the run.
Yeah, the started. I wonder if they wanted Tyrone back, but like we'll see where he is at the end of the war.
Yeah, well, they kind of made him too powerful too, but then they weakened him and then he kind of disappeared.
Oh, and the Medusa web. Speaking of too powerful, well, maybe it's
David for the
maybe.
recap.
Yeah, save it for the recap.
The memoriam or whatever.
So let's see. In the last, no, second to the last letter is pretty long, and they say that, sorry, we had to cut your letter short.
Yeah,
He
basically
was.
the guy was really bummed out about the Cy-Hawk Radstvow
Yeah, he was very
fight.
disappointed in what he'd expected to be the best Psi-4 force ever. He has several issues with it, like they were all kind of arguing in the Gestalt.
Yeah.
They stopped to talk to Colonel Browning, Lindsay, whatever, didn't do anything.
Yeah, I remember having similar feelings because it's like, all right, if this is the ultimate battle, they're struggling and not using their powers well and like just kind of stinking it up.
Yeah, it did. I don't know. It was at least sort of large scale, but it definitely had some issues as we go.
Yeah.
And he also brings out that when Boyd was the Psi Stalker, he fought and defeated the Hawk. Hey.
He defeated like a four-person hawk, I think, though, right? It was a little bit weakened.
Yeah, a couple of them were knocked out or something. The editor, sort of talks of it through a lot of stuff about the context of defeating Radstvow and how the story was developed to demonstrate parts of their abilities or not. So yeah, they sort of okay, you had the fight in 25, which we intended for them to lose anyway, and so then. In 30, you see like their development, and they're much more of a team
Yeah.
and work well together.
It's a really
Which,
long editorial response, which is kind of surprising because it's just kind of on those little story points, like the difference between draining away the Psy-Hawk's energy and the kids passing out versus the Psy-Hawk being destroyed, and then they all kind of get blasted into comas for 4 months, kind of thing.
and Lindsay, well, we have a difference of opinion, plain and simple. Yeah. Fabian likes her and no one else does. Let's see.
She totally would have redeemed herself if she had blasted, what's his name?
Potiphar, yeah,
Potiphar, like
absolutely.
right in the face. I mean,
Absolutely.
she went from being the pacifist to murdering Russians with a garrote. Like, that's pretty brutal. Like, you'd be feeling that
That is a
one.
disappointment for me in this issue that like you see Babel and Dustoff and it's like okay, no more Potiphar means we've lost our only chance to balance the scales on that one.
Yeah.
Leonid trusted her. She's like, trust me, let's go, trust me. Anyway.
I like this last one more than I should, but it's like, I've heard a very disturbing rumor. You plan to cancel your title because of lack of sales. Let me tell you, I have every issue of Psi-Force as well as every other new universe title. You and me both, guy.
It's right there with you.
And if you cancel even one DU title, I'll start reading DC. That's our next podcast. It's DC Comics. All four new years are my favorite of all comics. I think that scrapping the long-running titles in favor of one-shots is a bad idea because I can get the regular titles through the mail. That's kind of an old-school classic thing. If I have to go all the way across town just to pick up a single $4 comic, I might not bother. Yeah, I was feeling that comment just because comics now cost $4 a piece.
Yikes.
And I don't want to pay that much anymore.
Don't let him fool you, Andy just got a heck of a deal in the dollar bins, so.
Do, but
I've lost my dollar bin access
yeah, that
to
stinks. I'll
that
keep mailing.
stinks.
I'll keep mailing you stuff.
Okay. So let's see. So the response is the new universe over? Yes and no. This month does indeed mark the end of our monthly titles, but also marks the beginnings of the war. As for us, well, we're still open for business as far as letters go. Please write in and tell us what you thought of our last few issues. Your comments can help shape the future appearances of the characters. Let us tease you a little. If the Psi-Force team does appear again, chances are it will resolve the Michael Crawley and Tyrone Jessup subplots. But aren't they members of other teams now, you ask? Hehehe, we reply.
Well, Crawley already fled DP7 because he didn't like what they how they handled Scuzz letting him go back to the cult. So he's not really with anybody. And then Tyrone was definitely not happy in the military.
We'll see how he fares in the war. I'm guessing he won't be killed, but whether he'll sort of like it in the, band of brothers sort of sense,
If he's
who
even in
knows?
it, I don't know. We'll see.
Also possible, yeah. It could all
Right.
just be gridlock and metallurgist
Right.
24/7, in which case the new universe has definitely got problems. It is, like I said, weird 40 years later almost, but. The comics, I mean, there was the Golden Age, and then things dropped off for like 10 or 20 years. So the early 60s, when Marvel picks up, kicks off again with Fantastic Four, let's say, that's a significant gap. It's not as long as we now have between
Yeah.
these, but the chance to sort of pick up again and reinvent something and whatever is always there, I guess, as long as the companies are still.
Marvel has reinvented everything many times. It's like how many Secret Wars has there been, right? Like, and yet still not really much with New Universe, though, right? They did that like a new Universal thing, which was just kind of using the names and then a couple little things here and there again that just kind of use the names. But like, this is the one of the few things that did not really ever reboot.
It is certainly not overused by any stretch.
No.
I'd say, they did a couple of things for like the 20th anniversary, that new Universal and some other stuff. They made some appearances in 90s comic books, only a couple of which I think are worth looking at. I mean, some character is wandering around something for like a 2099 book for like 20 issues, and then one day he realizes he's Justice, supposedly.
Right.
Okay, I'm not gonna look through those to see how
Yeah.
that works,
I'm
but
pretty sure Star Brand became a dinosaur, perhaps a caveman, and then a little girl. Maybe a gay dinosaur or
yeah,
something weird.
was the dinosaur gay or was the caveman gay? I
I
forget, but. Yeah, that at that point you're really like, okay, maybe we don't need the reinvention by the current crew,
That's
and
just
we'll
like
wait for another generation to
tidbits though, right? It's not really like it's not a line of new universe comics or something,
Yeah, the thing is, New Universal was at least separate. It wasn't in the connected to the Marvel Universe. Not I don't think it was set in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Though all the most of the 90s appearances were sort of trying to draw connections from the new universe to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I think the core of the new universe is being independent and, having an, self-contained
Right.
separate reality that you don't have people sneaking over so they can steal one of these powers or
Right.
take one of these characters back to the main universe.
No cosmic treadmill kind of thing.
Yeah,
I like
so
that it is totally self-contained. Like, there's really nothing left. You have all the books, and that's the whole story. I think that it would be nice to have a new universe total redo rather than trying to like add on or steal characters, but and then just
yeah.
yeah, leave it as it is, right? But it's still whatever. It's never
Yeah.
going to happen.
Chances of either of us being able to do anything about it are pretty slim, so
Right.
on we go.
Wish I could write or draw.
Oh
Be all
man,
over.
it's been bugging me for years. Why can't
Stormbrand
Andy
as it
write or
was meant
draw?
to do. To, yeah.
Yeah, the well, we'll see. Does the lure of fan fiction calls even me sometimes? Let's see.
Which characters do you want to ship together?
Yeah, t the upset modern obsessions with various things that are like, okay, let's just, I'm not that
Don't
interested.
need Jack Magna Conti running his hands through Night Mask's hair and looking at him longingly or something.
It's, there you go. So let's see. I think we mentioned that Sadara was in issue 25. There was a cameo.
Yeah, I gotta go back and peep at
She
that.
looks normal, like she's dressed in a Western sort of outfit in that, so you don't really think, oh, this is a person from it, Country X or anything. And I was just noticing on the cover, actually, Sadara is out of her hijab, which she's wearing in through the entire issue, but Lindsay's hoodie actually makes her look like she's wearing one. So,
A few religious conversions happened.
yeah.
And we never got to see Travis's like stabby wrist thing show up in the comic.
I was really hoping we'd see that. It's like a like nice Wolverine look to it. So,
Yeah.
and I mean it was like the earring. It pops up at one point, and you're like, "Oh, this will come back." And we did not see
Nope,
it,
not
but
really.
quick,
Ran out of time, I guess.
yeah, other pages in the book were another ad for the war. It's the same thing that was on the back page of Starbrand's 19. Wolverine Punisher War Journal crossover, and Moon Knight and Damage Control. All these ads we've seen before. There is not a new timeline in this
Yeah,
issue, so
it didn't make
there's
it
still a
too
couple
far.
issues we might. Come on, guys, keep it together. Let's see. But otherwise, is that it?
Think that is, yeah.
Oh, well, if that is it for this week's episode, next time we will finish up with our displaced paranormals plus a cast of thousands. DP7.
Sad emoji. TP732, last issue special. The paranormals of DP7 must make the toughest decision of their lives when a new paranormal calling himself the Cure, very creative, offers to rid them of their paranormal powers. Written by Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, inked by Danny Bullinati, 32 pages, Mando offset paper, $1.50. Not yet $4 comics.
We are going out full Mando.
Full Mando.
Ah, the cure. I'll brush up on my
Your Robert Smith or whatever.
yeah, Letters to Elise is a favorite. Gotten down to the end. Only six comics left to go. Two regular titles and then the War miniseries, which, yes, we're gonna keep. We'll just go through the regulars and then hit the War
Whether we want
separately.
to or not.
You still find us at our website, kickersinc.com, and you can always email us, newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe. And we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
Don't let the new universe die.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Better a stupid idea than none at all.
You've talked to me before, in my mind.
I have to go all the way across town just to pick up a single $4 comic. I might not bother.
Make believe I'm everywhere, given in the light. Written on the pages is the answer to a never-ending story. La 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 la.
Swoon.